Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in Christ Jesus our Lord, now and forevermore. Amen. Some portion of scriptures are really hard to grapple with, hard to understand, mystifying. The words themselves may be plain enough, but to put the thoughts together, our brains strain to try to figure them out. Classic example is God's miracles, huh? God parted the Red Sea and the Israelites walked on dry ground to escape their enemies. The fire of God came down from heaven and consumed Elijah's offering on the altar. Lazarus, 4 days dead already, comes walking out of his tomb simply because Jesus called out his name. Those miracles get us to scratch our heads and say, how did that happen? But we kind of chalk it up. Well, this is God doing miracles, and so, yeah, it's going to go a little beyond our intellectual prowess. But what really might be difficult to grab a hold of is when common, ordinary people seem so terribly strange, mysterious even, because they've come in contact with Jesus. Here in our text, our second scripture lesson, Paul told the Corinthian Christians about these guys up north, these Christians from Macedonia. They were thinking really unrealistically, irrationally. Some people might even call them a little crazy in how they were handling life. You see, the setting is that there was a major famine in Jerusalem and all Judea. And so the church sent Paul around the Mediterranean Sea on a relief mission to see who could contribute to their suffering and to relieve their suffering and give them some aid in their hour of need. That would make perfect sense for Paul to go to the Corinthians, the wealthy metropolitan Corinthians. They were sitting in the lap of luxury. But north of Corinth, in Macedonia, those people were known for being the poorest of the poor. They really had a hand-to-mouth existence and barely that. That was Hicksville. They had nothing. And so it would make perfect sense for Paul to just kind of skirt by them. And yet Paul reports to them, out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. Were they out of their minds? That doesn't make any sense. Why would they do such a thing? They have severe trials. They have poverty on top of poverty. They need those gifts, that money that they had, just to sustain a living, and now they're going to give it to perfect strangers? What sense does that make? Didn't they have mortgages to pay, children to raise, cattle and sheep to feed? How can they take that out of their own mouths and give it to total strangers? Does that make any sense? The smart person, the prudent person, would say to himself, I need to pay all my bills first. I have things I want to do and need to do. And so with whatever's left over after all of that, then I'll think about someone else's needs and maybe join a relief campaign. After all, that's somewhere on that important list. But to actually give generously? What were they trying to do? They might even say They had crazy, sacrificial love. But wouldn't you agree with me that a crazy, sacrificial love like that could really get them into a lot of trouble? Why would they do such a thing? Maybe that's why Paul was telling the Corinthians about this, to raise that very question for them. Why would those Macedonian Christians do such a thing? Maybe that's why Paul is telling us, so that we'll ask that question. Why would they do such a thing as that? Paul doesn't keep us hanging very long. He comes quickly with the answer. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Crazy sacrificial love. Jesus is the epitome of crazy sacrificial love. Who's richer than the Lord God Almighty? No one. When Adam and Eve first rebelled by disobeying him, God owed them nothing except perhaps condemnation for rebelling against him. And this is the moment when God is totally irrational, when he doesn't make any sense. Instead of striking them down, what does God decide to do? Purely from his own initiative, purely from his own ability, he pays their debt from his own riches. The debt of sin of every single man, woman, and child that has or ever will live on planet Earth. Out of his free abundance. We call that kind of love by a special name. We call it grace. His undeserved love. Jesus became poor so that we could become rich. Poor? Poor? How did Jesus become poor? Well, Jesus comes down from heaven and he takes on human flesh, becomes a human. And when you're the Lord God Almighty, becoming a human isn't exactly a step up on the ladder. But he who sits on the throne of heaven was born in a cow stall. He lived a poor pauper's life, kind of like these Macedonian Christians. Very much a hand-to-mouth existence. I wonder if they could relate to that. But then his enemies spit on him and beat him. High official enemies, even the priests in the temple of the Lord God Almighty, hated the Messiah when he came. They wanted him dead. And they finagled for that to happen. So that they beat him, wounded him, nailed him to a cross until he was dead. And if that wasn't the depths of his poverty, then the Lord God Almighty, as he's on the cross, takes all sins of all mankind and puts them on him along with the curse. He punishes his one and only Son for you and me, for all the times when we've been arrogant, self-centered. It's all about me and what I want. Give me more, more, more. And Jesus bore the curse in his own body so that we could be set free, washed clean. He gives and gives and gives. By his poverty, we became rich. By his wounds, we are healed. Jesus' resurrection guarantees that this grace has been poured out on you and me. We look like we're pretty poor people on the outside, but inside, we are the richest of the rich. Why? Because God's forgiveness, his love, his blessing rests on us. We are the blood-bought children of God, and there is a mansion with our name on it waiting for us in heaven, built by God. We truly are the richest of the rich. We have nothing to cry about. Why? Even in our Old Testament lessons, Jeremiah and all his trouble and torment and tears focused in on how wonderful his God is. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. What did Jesus tell Jairus when his beloved daughter was dead? Don't be afraid, just believe. That's what these Macedonian Christians did. They weren't afraid. They weren't afraid of tomorrow, and they weren't afraid of their poverty because they trusted in the Lord. They were not going to live in fear. They knew the compassion and the love of the Lord, and so they would not be consumed even by all these things that so threatened them. Their confidence was this Savior who has come and saved our souls for all eternity can certainly take care of our bodily needs right here, right now, in this world. We want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches, that they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. God's grace empowered them to do miraculous and mysterious things, to actually give themselves to the Lord first. These peasant of peasants, the Lord was number one. And the work of the church, their gifts to those in need, were second. And so they were set free so that they could willingly, joyfully, generously give of what the Lord had given them and now cannot count the cost, but see that as a privilege of being able to help those who had sent Paul to them to share that good news. They pleaded for that privilege. Paul, please help. Let us help in this need. They weren't looking for excuses. But why was Paul telling the Corinthians this? Why was he sharing that news just to tell them what was happening in the four corners of the kingdom? No. I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. The Corinthians had a lot more money than the Macedonians. But the Macedonians had a lot more passion for the Lord, to live for him in joy and triumph. And so Paul was hoping that the Corinthians would excel in all these things that they did already excel in, that they would also excel in the grace of giving. Unfettered, joyful, generous hearts as an expression of their love. You see, there's giving, and then there's the love of giving. Much like a birthday or an anniversary, when a gift is given out of an obligation, it's an insult. But when that very same gift is given out of a heart filled with love, oh, it is a beautiful thing. Our Lord has done everything he's done out of love, not out of obligation. He loves us with a deep and profound love, and he's looking for love in return. He isn't looking for just appreciation and a thank you card. Everything he does out of love for you and me, and he's looking for love to be returned. So how do we compare? How do we compare to these Macedonians? Do we suffer from a crazy sacrificial love? Or do we suffer from a timid, half-hearted, measured love? Do we look more like the Macedonians who first and foremost gave their heart fully to the Lord? Or do we seem more like the Corinthians, who are rich but really are so immature they don't really know what to do with all their riches? Perhaps we're a mixed bag. God has poured out his grace of giving into the hearts and lives of perhaps some of us. Perhaps some of us need to be praying to the Holy Spirit, "Oh, Holy Spirit, along with all your other graces that you all pour, pour that one into our hearts and lives as well." But there comes in the importance of being in God's house of worship and in His Word. Because that's the only way the Holy Spirit pours out any of His graces upon us. It's through that Word, that gospel and Word and sacrament, that God touches us and changes us and empowers us and makes us new in His grace and glory. And if we're not in His Word and not in His house, there will be no grace of giving poured out anywhere. And so what should we do? We should pray. Pray for that grace of giving to be on us and on one another. Pray that there might be more and more of a burning desire to be in His holy word. These Macedonian Christians didn't have this passion for the Lord without also having a passion for His word. It's unlikely that they simply just listened to His word 1 hour a week and somehow that brought on such commitment and devotion to their risen Lord. They heard it inwardly digested in their homes and in their church, continually feeding upon it. And oh, what a profound effect it had upon these poor people. And so we need to pray. Pray for this grace that God would make us crazy sacrificial lovers who truly know the definition of love. Love born of God and His enormous love for us. Plan to be in His Word, in your home and in your congregation. Pray for your fellow members and take someone you know on that journey with you to grow closer to the Lord and deeper in His Word where all the blessings lie. Love your brothers and sisters. Encourage them in the fact that Jesus' love is new every morning. Every time we open up our eyes, there is Jesus to love us all anew again. In Him we are safe and protected. He conquers all things. And so pray for yourself. Pray for someone else you know in the congregation. Pray for your family here at Faith Lutheran, that the Holy Spirit might pour out all of His gifts and blessings upon us, even this gift of giving, that we might do that joyfully, cheerfully. Feed your faith. Give your heart first and fully to the Lord, that nothing else might be more important to you. And encourage one another in that love of the Lord. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Merciful Lord, gracious God, may our hearts and lives be at your disposal. May we be putty in your hands. Guide us through the power of your word that we might be aglow in your grace and goodness. Bless us, dear Lord, that we might see our lives as a thank offering to you who have offered yourself to make us yours. Bless us and strengthen us in your divine grace. In Jesus our Savior we pray. Amen.